This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan on a shout-out Friday.
Shout-out to Bobby.
877 for shutting that door. 881-1053, frankofirm.com. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you have me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, and Reginald Adatula joining the show. And by the way, Bobby just messed with a thermostat with a mischievous grin on his face. You think he went way cold or way hot?
I think hot.
Okay.
But that's fine by me because I'm wearing shorts and flip-flops today because it is free fun Friday, baby. So.
Ooh.
Yeah. And you like that, Reggie?
Do you not always wear shorts and flip-flops?
Look, man, I did get into this business.
Okay.
So that I could wake up a little later, which still hasn't quite worked out because of the kids.
Uh-huh.
And kind of show up and dress in whatever I want. If you're in TV, you have to wear a tie. And who likes that? Who likes
change your opinions?
Yeah, and change your opinions and wear a tie and change your opinions. Who wants to do something like that?
I'll do the tie part.
You like fashion, though. That's part of your attitude, is fashion.
Did you just make my last name a verb?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So, like, I'm wearing cargo shorts, all right? And I think you would say cargo shorts, bad decision. But do I care? I'm a dad of three. No, I don't care at all.
See, I think you care a little bit, though, because you told me your dream was to come in, I think, in a bathing suit and flip-flops every day.
And bathing
I was
like, suit and flip-flops.
I was like, that's fine. I'm not going
to
judge you
to
for
what
that.
End?
What do you mean, to what end?
Like, for what reason?
Comfort.
Comfort. I love...
Bathing suit is the most comfortable thing, you think?
Here's my ideal life, Reggie. Okay. Wake up naked, all right, obviously, and roll out of bed... Put on swim trunks, all right, because I was naked before, and get into ocean water or pool, all right? That's my ideal life. That's retirement for me. I can do that every day, and I'll be happy.
In Dallas-Fort Worth?
No. I mean, obviously, I would need an oceanfront property.
Oh, you hear that? He's trying to leave.
When I retirement, which is going to be around 75 because of things.
So politics?
That's the... I don't know how much it has to do with the pipeline, but the... what? The pipeline's the reason we have to pay so much gas prices, Kevin. Do you not know how this works? Gas prices are $3.49 a gallon.
I am
right
not
now.
Getting involved in that right now.
All right.
Now.
So, all right. Then what do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about, well, let's try to make it feel positive at first. Let's go to cut number one, where it feels super positive.
And the count at no balls and two strikes. This pitch on the outside corner for a called third strike. And the Jack Leiter contingent behind home plate goes wild. That's a great way to start.
And he did look very good in the first inning.
Yep.
After that, it was less good.
Uh-huh.
But the Rangers still won.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of complex feelings about the game yesterday. Like, clearly Jack Leiter didn't do very well. But the offense started to come alive. Thankfully, Detroit forgot how to do a rundown and play defense. Shout out to Tavares on that one. On the rundown, not the defense part. And the Rangers still won. He got out of a rundown. I always think that's neat.
Do you?
I do. I think the rundown in general is a fascinating play because I love the teamwork involved. But then when Tavares can just go whoop and just duck under the tag, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's
to me.
Athleticism right there. Not everybody's that quick twitch as Tavares was in that moment. That being said, he also had a significant miss in the outfield that caused some extra runs. And that tacks on to Kevin. That tacks on to Jack Leiter probably could have gotten out of yesterday only giving up four runs.
Sure.
And then you add that to it, it looks even worse. If you'd have gone, all right, four innings, four runs, decent outing, he probably was going to go back to the minor leagues anyway. I still think this. I'm very serious. I think that yesterday he was brought up because you're kind of in this stretch where you're trying to find pitching. You're trying to figure out a lot of it. He probably goes back anyway. If you listen to the pregame show, Bochy would not commit to him staying up. And it was more about where they are with their rotation and what they're trying to figure out there. But they wanted to give him the opportunity. That being said, he goes out and pitches seven innings scoreless. Bochy's probably going with the hot hand for a while.
I agree.
I expect him to do that. But that moment right there makes it look even worse. There were some moments where Jack Leiter had he challenged right down the middle of the plate. And
feels
I think
like
he's
a
gonna,
bad idea.
He could do that. He could do that in the SEC, right? Like he could do that whenever he was in college. He could like, I'm gonna throw 97. And guys like Spencer Torkelson are like, I've seen you three times now. I know what your 97 looks like. Boom. And then he's out of the game. Earlier also, I don't know how much you were listening to what happened before the game, but Jack Leiter was probably spent himself before the game.
What do you mean?
He did not sit down like from the moment he got to the park until he went to the mound. And Kevin, you know those pitchers like to sit on the couch the entire right. Like they're like, don't talk to me. I'm just sitting on the couch. I'm going to be here.
Right.
This dude was up. He was so amped up to pitch.
Which makes sense for your major league debut.
And then he gets through that first inning. The way it was beautiful. That first batter, too, was amazing, right? Three pitch strikeout. See you later. Maybe got a little bit of help from the umpire on that one. That's fine. I'll take it. But after that first inning, when he gets into the second inning, I think he had spent a lot of his energy trying, like, just being up and moving all day. And that being said, that's what his dad was, right? Al Leiter was one of those kind of guys that was always up and always energetic and moving and very amplified as a pitcher. I think that Jack kind of had a little too much of that and then didn't have enough of it to make it through the rest of the game. That's just a learning experience that I have for him that I'm hoping that he can utilize.
From the 972, I think Leiter deserves one more start. Baseball is hard. Give him another shot. I just don't know if it'll come next, right? Like, I definitely think he'll get more starts this season. Just don't know if this was just kind of a spot, as we discussed with Jared a couple days ago, to kind of build back in that extra day of rest for the other starters. So I do think he'll get another start. I just don't know if it'll be in 4 or 5 more days.
Would you say that you felt like he was ready to come up? Because
yes.
Okay.
I do. I understand the question. I really do. And I understand, like, probably necessity facilitated some of that. However, one of the things that we talked about a lot during spring training is, what did he need to work on? As simple as this: control. Control, control, control. Although I guess you could just say it one time. And he looked a lot better with his control in spring training. And then in his essentially 3 starts, I realized one of them was a relief appearance behind Lorenzen, but essentially his 3 starts, 14 and a third, 3 walks versus 25 strikeouts. I think they were like, hey, go do it for me in some actual, like, more competitive games. I think so, because I actually thought there was a shot as the spring went along that he would make it into the bullpen breaking camp. So I do think he was ready.
So then how do we then look at his performance from the control perspective? Because I know that if you look at the look at the box score, it's just like, oh, this was bad. But watching the game, it felt like it was very roller coaster. There was obviously the first inning. The second inning was, whew, the control got really bad. He's throwing into the other batter's box. But then I thought he got a rein on it pretty good. And ultimately, he had a good amount of swing and miss in this. You saw the ways that he could control it when he's on. He just had an extended period in the course of this where he wasn't on his control.
I was happy to see him come back out in the third inning and do his thing there.
After the second inning, Reggie, you described as what again?
I don't even remember the word.
Oof.
Yeah.
But I do. That's another part of it. Is I'm looking forward to the next start, and hopefully, because if you heard the audio, he's like, "This, I wasn't good enough. I have to be better." All those things. I get it. But
you're not gonna go after Tavares and be like, "Catch the damn."
But I hope he goes back, and you have that cut from him talking about his first big league start.
I do.
A lot of frustration. I know I'm better, and I need to be better, and I will be better. And that's kind of the frustration, is some pitches that I left on the table and some mistakes that I made. Just a lot of, like, feeling frustrated. And obviously, bullpen's wearing it, and I didn't help the cause. So I felt bad that I did that to those guys. But I just wish I did a better job keeping the team with a favorable lead. Eight runs shouldn't be that close of a game.
The he's right about that for sure. You know, you guys go out there and put all the runs on the board. It shouldn't be that close at all. But Bochy said his expectation, because Kevin, we were like throwing numbers out. Bochy's expectation was, give us a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
And I still think, and he, after the game, you heard him mention the Tavares thing, and he said, you know, Tavares will tell you that he should have caught that ball. I think if you, again, you walk out of that game, four runs, four innings, you have a chance to win the game. Bochy's feeling pretty good about you. I hope the energy part, I really do think the energy part of it was something that once you go through the first inning and get out of it that way, how do you respond in the next inning? That's a learning process of going to the next stage and then extending that to six innings and being a guy that can go out there and know what your temperature is, know what your adrenaline level is, and how to maintain that through six, nine innings. That's something that I'm really hopeful Jack takes from this. I hope he doesn't look at that and just go, well, that's nothing to think about. I want him to take something from that and say, maybe I can manage myself a little bit better for my next start. And whenever it comes to, was he ready for it? Did he earn it? That's what they did with Cody Bradford last year. We were all like, okay, it's Jack time. And they were like, no, Cody Bradford, this guy that's in AAA doing pretty decent. He's not doing great, but he's doing decent. We're going to bring him up and he's going to do his thing and we'll see how it works. And he wasn't amazing, but it was good enough to bridge the gap.
I do think he'll take plenty of lessons from that. I think you heard him say that exact thing. And I definitely understand people texting in who are upset about the defense, or specifically one person in particular on the defense.
All right, Kevin, let's talk about it then.
Catch the ball.
You want to trade him?
Look.
You want to demote him?
We had a segment lined up. Yes to the second one. Actually, yes to the first one, too.
Ooh.
We had a segment lined up that was like under consideration pretty quickly after the season started. And it was, how long does Leody Tavares keep his starting job?
Yeah, if you're not hitting, is your defense enough to carry you?
Unbelievable, right? Defensively. And so I'm not going to just say, hey, like, look at yesterday's game, get him the hell out of here. But if your defense is not unbelievable and you're just not hitting, that
I agree.
I wonder if, I really do, I wonder if, first of all, they're like, hey, we don't have as quick of a trigger to pull on him as everybody else does because, you know, he helped us win the World Series and everything. Fair. I also wonder if the power void from Wyatt Langford to start slows down the process at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know they've shuffled them all in terms of left field, DH, center field with Carter in the mix as well.
That's a good question.
I wonder if Langford had already popped five or six home runs, if they're like, hey, he can learn while he's hitting all those home runs out in left field. We know Evan Carter can play center.
Or if he was hitting 60 doubles a game.
Yeah.
You know, like
that I would agree with.
I would definitely say
that's a lot of at bats.
How much of it do you think is that, or how much of it do you feel like is not necessarily having another guy that demands the DH spot? Because you can get Wyatt Langford's bat into the lineup pretty much every day, even without him being in the outfield.
Well, and then that's when you look directly at what happened with Foskey, right? Because he was going to be the guy who made logical sense. They were even getting him, because I know Jared Walsh has been doing the thing at first base as well, but they also work Foskey at first base. So like, hey, let's see if we can maybe switch you out with Nate Lowe occasionally. And then, unfortunately, he shows up for a second and he gets hurt, and then he gets moved to the 60-day injured list. And then you're like, okay, well, I guess maybe we'll give Davis Wenzel a shot. And I know that's still in progress, but I think that's a very valid point, is they probably thought Foskey was going to be the dude, and then he gets hurt straight away. Because in my mind, and look, Bruce Bochy has forgotten more about baseball than I'll ever know. But in my mind, I thought it's logical, if you still think you need pitching help, to try to trade Tavares, put Foskey at the DH, roll Langford out into left field, knowing that Ezekiel Duran can still do a whole bunch of stuff for this team. But the injuries, we've talked about the injuries for pitching, the injuries here have probably shifted some of that.
And I mean, that was definitely one of the reasons that before season, I was like, this is why you're keeping all these guys, all these outfielders. Injuries will happen. Things are going to happen that make you have to juggle. And you can't just count on, well, I got these starters. Tavares, he could have cost you yesterday's game. But then, as you said, Kevin, did he win the game for you yesterday with that duck tag?
No, it was an awesome play, though.
Did he win that game? How many runs did you win by?
Two.
You only needed one. He scored one of them.
Look, I told you I thought that was a really neat play. And by the way,
I mean, he had a couple of hits late in that game, which, I mean, speaks to the hitting, five-game hitting streak, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Like, we're starting to see that uptick, and I wonder how much him being 25, still having some development probably under him, also makes the organization look at this and go, hey, let's not be too hasty.
I mean, let's use Fosu, for example. I believe is the same age, if not a year older than that. And so, like, at least you can see with Tavares. Like, I already saw it for the majority of an entire season. And yeah, I did see somebody text in the five-game winning streak. It's hard to look at numbers this early in the season because if he breaks off, you know, a 10-game hitting streak, the whole thing could change. But that did raise his average from 196 to 231.
Mm.
And if you're like, hey, give me more modern numbers, fair enough. It did raise his OPS from 573 to 609, both of which are not good. But then again, Wyatt Langford's OPS leaves much to be desired. It's tough this early in the season, but I do not want to ignore the two hits yesterday, the five-game hitting streak. I took that as more of a, like, overall statement about his offensive ability.
And, Kevin, I know we were talking a lot about Tavares and Leiter's start there, but overall, you take three of four from the Detroit Tigers, who are a good team.
That's a good point.
In a time where you were like, oh, man, this team's struggling a little bit, and you go and take three of four from them on the road, and I know you're now you got a big task in front of you against the Braves, but this team still is not where it needs to be by any means. Corey Seager's not I don't think he's completely 100% Corey Seager right now. You're missing Josh Young. You got all these pieces that you're trying to figure out still, and this team was able to take three or four from a good team.
Can I give you one more quick Rangers note that I thought was really cool?
No.
Please?
Okay, sure.
Oh, yes. All right, so I'm in
your
this
show, man. You do whatever you
stop
want.
Stop it. I asked a question. I'm
no,
in
it's
this
my show. Clearly.
I'm in this group.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm in this group on Facebook that is really interesting to me called Sports Card Nonsense.
Congratulations.
And okay. Well, just,
that was sincere. What's up? Well.
Okay. They'll just
you gotta
push request and you're in. A group of Rangers fans were in Detroit and they made a deal with Evan Carter because I guess they had been talking back and forth. They pulled the Evan Carter Topps World Series 1/1 autographed rookie card. And Evan Carter was like, I want that card.
Really?
Yeah, which it's the only one. And it's his rookie and it's the World Series variant of it. And so
1 billion.
You know what is really interesting about that? Because you would think like, hey, I got to meet Evan Carter like before the game and I got some game used memorabilia. In the forum, that's the picture that was posted. Like meeting Evan Carter, game used memorabilia. And people are like, oh, that's it? That's a 1/1, man. And I was like, you did just meet the guy. But then he added, we also got some cash for it. And I don't know if he actually did or if he just wanted people to shut up and appreciate what a cool deal that was. But Evan Carter posed with them and the card and the autograph bat and autograph baseball. I just thought that was a really cool deal. And Evan Carter.
And now they're millionaires too, right?
I don't know about that.
Go live your millionaire style.
Fair enough. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, do the previous Mavs-Clippers playoff matchups have any real relevancy to 2024? We'll do it next right here on the Fan.
Finney-Smith to inbound. Back to Doncic. Doncic pulls up, three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good! Doncic wins the game at the buzzer!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Do the previous Mavs-Clippers playoff matchups have any real relevancy to 2024? And I think this question is going to resonate because as soon as Corey heard this highlight and heard Finney Smith, he looked like, hey guys, I think we played the wrong audio.
I did. I was like, what is this, 3 years ago?
Now, it's a fair question because the Clippers have already beat, I want to say the Mavs, but people position it as they've beat Luka twice in the playoffs in 2020 and 2021.
Okay.
And so I get it. Everyone's like, hey, it's a third matchup between these two teams. But these two teams also have a lot of differences in them. Do you look?
Name one.
The fact that you have Kyrie Irving now.
Name two.
You also have Daniel Gafford.
Wow, he had that ready.
I felt like you would have gone with they have James Harden at the time.
I mean, but are they not having to manage his injury right now?
Are they?
Oh, no, that's Kawhi. Yeah. Oh. Kawhi also, yeah, he's listed as questionable for game one. It seems like it's trending in the direction where you'll clearly see him in this series, but who the hell knows?
Here's the difference to me. Paul George is 33. Kawhi Leonard is whatever. He's 32 with 95-year-old knees.
I wish you would have said it.
Whatever age with 95-year-old knees. James Harden, while he still has, you know, James Harden abilities, they are an old team.
Right.
And the Mavericks are a very, like, they're a young team. I know Kyrie's not young. But Daniel Gafford's young. PJ Washington's young. They have young legs that
Luka
I think,
Lively.
Yeah, they can stand up to this. The longer, I think you want to get done with this in six. You really do. But the longer this series goes, I think the more it wears out the likes of the Clippers.
Okay. I like what you're saying here. Five would be great too.
Four would be awesome.
Honestly,
sweep it in three.
Honestly,
I agree. Actually, yeah.
If you win this series, this is one of the tighter betting line series in the opening round. But I was just looking at some stuff. Who are the starters that are left, or who are the players that are left that started for the Mavericks in the last playoff series?
Luka.
And there's one more.
THJ, but he's not a starter anymore.
But he was. At the time.
Fair enough.
In the last meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, as you point out, one starter that's carryover and one player that's on the bench. Hell, I think even if you played the Mavericks in October, that is not particularly relevant to this series, let alone going back a couple years. So for storyline purposes, I definitely get it. It's like the Mavericks were up the last time, 3-2 in the series in game 7. Luka dropped 46 points. It was all-time amazing, and they still lost. I get that part of it. But other than that, like, these teams are so different.
If you're going to suggest, though, that something is there, Luka doesn't forget things.
Which is great.
And just like who you are and what your jersey is, he's like, I still want to get you. So that is something that I will say. Luka doesn't want to let this series go by any means.
Kevin, I hear the premise that's lodged within the question, right? The idea that maybe those series that happened years ago don't matter.
I feel like he set me up here.
However!
Oh my goodness.
I think there's a couple of places where they do. One of them being Kawhi Leonard played what might have been his best playoff basketball in one
of
those series.
That's for damn sure.
And I think that makes it very evident that if he does play, when he gets to isolation basketball, I know that they've added pick and roll to their, you know, what they're doing here with James Harden and whatever. If there's a situation where you have to go back and forth, you know that they're capable of doing it. I think this Mavs team is better at that. But you know that it's not just going to be something where you roll over in, another team in the fourth quarter.
Okay, can I ask you a question about
Please
that
do.
Then? James Harden, you're probably like kind of keeping track on his health and how he's doing. And Kawhi Leonard, look, I'm not saying he's not going to play in game one. I know they listed him as questionable, but he has missed some time leading up to it. The fact that two of those players are kind of iffy going into it, how much does that affect their effectiveness at that isolation?
I would want to say that affects it, but if Kawhi Leonard's on the floor, he's going to do those things. Like, he's, again, he's been managing these things for years at this point. Now, of course, that's meant he's missed games, but even in that last series, we saw him miss games, but when the games that he was playing, he still looked phenomenal. But I think that brings me to one of my other points. I started with the one that was less favorable for the Mavericks to get to this one. It still matters because Ivica Zubac is over there.
He can't do anything.
Lucas Hutton.
The playoffs is about that you're going to get a lot of matchup hunting. And if that guy is on the floor and he's going to be, if Luka Doncic can get to him, that is a place where regardless of who else is on the floor, Luka Doncic is capable of making that dude dance.
They got to remember that though, right? They're like, dude, we had to straight up pull you out of the last playoff series because of that matchup hunting. Do you still trot him out, or are you like, look, we'll give you like 5 minutes, but this went very poorly last time.
I mean, Ty Lue believes in his capabilities. And if you're going to allow the other team to completely dictate your roster in that way,
could be trouble.
Why are you showing up for?
Yeah.
I mean, with Gafford, and hopefully Lively's healthy enough to get out there and play.
Supposedly the bounce back was good from the practice.
But with that, you're going to have to put a body on those guys. Otherwise, Luka and Kyrie, the rest of the team, they'll let Gafford punish you for an entire quarter. They'll say, that's fine. We'll dunk. We'll do this over and over and over until you try to stop us. And right now, it doesn't look like many people can stop that. But that's something that if I'm Jason Kidd, I'm like, all right, guys, they don't have a big in there. Go. And I don't know if that can be matched. The way the Mavericks have been playing on defensive end, I don't know that you can match back and forth with if you're the Clippers, with what they could do offensively in the paint. That's where I would be concerned if I'm LA right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, as much as we talk about the Ivica Zubac on the perimeter trying to guard Luka, now also imagine putting him into pick and roll, and then you see how much Luka loves the vertical aspect of this game, just being able to throw it up there to the likes of Gafford and Lively. I imagine Ivica Zubac is going to be sick because he's going to be like, all right, I kept him in front of me. Wait, why is he throwing over my head? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Crap, they have guys that can do that now. I appreciate that. I'm excited about that. I want to stay on the perimeter, though.
Okay.
Potential fatal flaw for this Dallas Mavericks team. I appreciate all the things that they can do. They've been playing great. They have not been shooting well from three for a while. And I asked this question. I know this is a weird question. Is Dante Exum going to end up being more important than potentially anticipated? Because
yes.
P.J. Washington, I'm not saying take P.J. Washington off the floor. He has struggled.
I think I heard him say that.
No, that is not what I'm saying whatsoever.
There's masterpiece of the week.
Definitely not what I'm saying. Derek Jones is shooting a career best from three, but still not particularly effective. You know what you're probably going to get from Luka and Kyrie. Exum, he doesn't shoot a ton of three-pointers, but he has been remarkably efficient with the Mavericks at shooting three.
We saw it the other night. I think we've seen it multiple times this season. Late in the fourth quarter, Exum's on the court, and when everybody goes to Kyrie or when everybody goes to Luka, Exum's the last option, but he nailed it and he's made them. Or he missed like four in a row before he finally hit that one, but then he's become more clutch along the stretch here. I think that he's going to come up big in this series.
And I think they're going to force him to. It seems like, obviously, if you're looking at Kyrie and Luka in front of you, you say, let those other guys beat me. And we've seen teams, even though Exum shot, 50% from three, which is an incredible number on low volume, teams still left him wide open. Like, if you're going to knock down the shot, that's fine, but we're going to handle these other things. And I imagine the Clippers probably do something similar, knowing that Zubac is going to be called up to the table to account for his ability to handle Luka Doncic. I think they're going to maybe pack it in and say, if P.J. Washington knocks down shots, if Dante Exum knocks down shots, that's cool and we'll adjust afterwards. So those guys are going to have to prove it early on in the series that they're knocking down shots.
I'm telling you right now, and this is probably a multi-series problem, if P.J. Washington and Dante Exum are knocking down shots, I am very excited to see how the other teams adjust to that.
Yeah, good luck, rest of world.
And like where that leaves you exposed.
You know what they do? They go under the skirt of the ring and they pull out a steel chair. Like it feels like you have to go to cheating at that point because I don't know what else you got.
Ladder match.
I thought you would appreciate
that. You got to hope that LeBron is throwing the powder not up in the air but in the referee's eyes.
Yeah, you drink the Gatorade.
That's right.
Spit it in their face.
I get that.
The mist.
I do get that.
I think it's the Miz.
Corey, this is from Zach and Frisco. I believe you will approve of this. For the 469, guys, I love the show. I listen every day. Can I get a shout out for my birthday? It's today.
Yes.
And he's 42.
Good. Hey, dude. Congratulations, man.
Nice.
I've been 42 for almost a year now.
We also would have accepted happy birthday, Zach.
Yeah, that would have
probably
worked a little bit better.
Kind of
really
self-centered
feel like I missed the mark on
what
that
I was
one. Yeah.
Looking
I was
for.
Just trying to share a story. There's two points of conversation. You listen, ask more questions, or you listen and then you talk. I was just trying to share a story that had, you know what? I need to be better at asking questions and acting interested in your life, Zach. My apologies.
Because
acting
you were being
interested?
Was he being the third kind? I know you're talking, but I'm just waiting for my time to talk again.
Yeah, it is kind of part of the second kind. Like, it definitely is. I'm going to share a story that's related to what you're talking about.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Good news, everybody. Nobody can stop him in this next segment because it's time for Baseball Buckets with Corey Major.
I have to go find a story for that. Next on The
what?
Fan.
What?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It's a shout-out Friday from the 972. Shout-out to you guys. Best radio show of the day right here. Thank you very much, though I do love all the shows on our station. Reggie, I'll give a shout-out to you if you can tell me who plays this song right here.
I'm pretty sure it is Avril Lavigne.
That is incorrect. Mm. That would be the Butthole Surfers.
Can you say
now
that?
Now it's time for Baseball Buckets
your
with Corey Major.
Ladies and gentlemen, now batting with Baseball Buckets, Corey Major.
Buckets.
Thank you very much, Chuck Morgan. Thank you, Kevin. And back to what Reggie just said.
I don't know what I said.
You could probably.
But he asked if you can say that on radio.
Ah.
That is a song that was played during our 90s era.
Yeah.
All the time on radio.
What's a radio?
You're on it right
you're
now.
You're literally on radio.
What?
Right now. And Twitch. And YouTube. And the Odyssey app.
That's right.
That song was played constantly back in the day. And every time they got done with it, they would say, and that's the Butthole Surfers right there. Next up, No Doubt. You know, something like that. So, yes, I think the answer is, in that context, you may say that.
You just wanted to say it again, right?
I'll admit, I was very nervous the first time I said it on radio, too. But then I came to grips with what I just told you and made it a lot easier. Kevin, have you ever heard of Logan Webb?
Yeah, YouTuber, does wrestling.
That's Logan Paul.
Ah. Right.
You have a...
Yeah, that's how it works.
Oh, sorry, my bad. Yeah, a really average quarterback out of Cal. I think he played at Tech as well.
That's Davis Webb.
All right. One more joke here before we go.
We don't have enough people.
All right. I was going to go with Logan Stankoven.
Ah.
Or...
I don't know if I would have gotten that one off of Logan Webb, but I like
or maybe it. Maybe you could even have gone with former dunk contest champion. Spud Webb. Kevin.
Or, you know, the real name of Wolverine.
Logan. What's his last name?
I think it's just Logan.
It's Logan.
Yeah, it's Logan.
Oh, neat.
That's what it says on the movie thing. The movie was Logan, right?
Yes.
It wasn't Logan Wolverine. It was Logan. So get with the picture, man. Are you looking it up right now? What's his last name? Does he have a last
his
name?
His real name is James Howlett.
That's not Logan at all.
And then it was James Logan Howlett.
Logan was a nickname?
This is kind of rocking.
I feel like we could. Yeah, we could have gone better there.
Yeah, Wolverine was a nickname.
This is kind of rocking my world a little bit.
From the 432, Reggie, last night's Bring the Hate segment was lit.
What an awesome segment.
Why don't we do that on our show? Can you bring that?
Man, can't steal it.
I want to steal Reggie.
Yeah, if you have anybody that you want to see their sports demise, we can talk about that.
I like this. I like it. All right. Logan Webb is a pitcher for San Francisco, Kevin. And you might be asking, why are you talking about Logan Webb? Logan Webb is currently 27 years old.
Okay.
He was my pick for Cy Young in the National League this year.
Okay.
He pitches for the San Francisco Giants.
I picked Spencer Strider. That pick's going less well.
I think you're going to be all right. Sure, the Rangers are going to go up against him tonight or something.
They will.
Oh, man. Jack Leiter is 23 years old, correct?
Yes.
Logan Webb was 22 when he got his first start. He was a high school pick. Okay. All right. He was one of those high school picks his first start, and then he was drafted by in the fourth round by the San Francisco Giants. Went through their system, and then he got his first start when he was 22 years old, 2019. He had 8 starts that year, 39 innings pitched. He had an ERA, Kevin. What do you think his ERA was?
6.2.
What? 6.2? Sounds good enough to me. It was a 5.2.
$1, Bob.
Yeah, lower than you would have think. The next year, thought, he had 11 games, 5.47 ERA. It went up, all right, yeah. At 23 years old, 5.47.
A little rough.
The next year, he's 24 years old. He's got 21 starts under his belt because 8 plus 11 is 21, I believe.
That is incorrect.
19 starts under his belt. 3.03 ERA.
Ooh.
With 158 strikeouts.
Okay.
Is that good?
I think it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Okay.
The next year, goes 15-9, 32 starts, 2.9 ERA with 163 strikeouts. The next year, 3.25 last year, 216 innings, 194 strikeouts with a 3.25. He goes 11-13. The Giants weren't as good last year. Yeah, and
if you get a 3.24 ERA, I live with
it. Last night, he retired 19 straight Diamondbacks. And San Francisco's on their first 3-game win streak of this season. He is a pitcher who has kind of been, there were expectations as he was growing into the system that he would turn into this kind of a guy. But again, Kevin, I look at the age there, and it wasn't until 24 years old that he got his, he has a ERA under 5. And so when I'm looking at Jack Leiter's start here, and how much more I still think he has to learn, and how when Mike talks about the difference between triple A ball, high A ball, sure, and college baseball, it's a completely different animal. And then you make that jump and that step to be a starter in Major League Baseball. Again, go back to Spencer Torkelson. I can say that name correctly. How many times, by the way, how many times yesterday were you listening specifically to see if Mike would F that name up?
That's fair.
Okay, all week I've been waiting to see.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
Because Mike always says Spencel Torkelson.
Yeah.
Spencel Torkelson. Yeah. I don't know why he can't get it together, but I was waiting. And I wanted to hear if Dave Raymond would be like, Mike, we got to have a talk about this.
Oh, were you rooting for him to fail?
Not to That's fail, right. just to be Mike. 100%. I don't want Mike.
You were rooting on his sports downfall.
No, I want Mike to, because I think one of the things that our Tolos love about Mike is Mike, right? Whether he fails or not, he's just going to do his thing anyway. So, but the one thing that you could see there was, again, he challenges him with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball, and Spencer Torkelson says, I've seen you 3 times today.
Right.
I'm driving this one into the gaps.
Right.
There's still a lot for Jack Leiter to learn is what I'm trying to point out here, and I'm using Logan Webb as a point of, I'm not saying they're going to be the same.
Okay.
Because, again, Webb was a 4th-round pick out of high school. Jack Leiter, I think the anticipation was, you know, son of a starter, son of a great starter. And he should turn into something special.
Number 2 pick, yeah.
So I think I am, while we were kind of tossing around Leote's, future there, right. I'm perfectly fine sending Jack Leiter back down to the minor leagues, letting him think about, revisit some of the stuff and work back on it. Hey, look, man, it's pitching 6 is different than pitching 3, pitching 4, pitching 2. You got to go out there and you got to do it, and you got to do it consistently. Now go show me what you learned while you were up for the few days that you were up, whether it was how you studied, how you prepared for that start, and now go dominate in the AAA. And so that's what I'm hoping. Again, Logan Webb was a prospect that they were excited about and has turned into a very good pitcher in the conversation. Last year was 2nd in Cy Young voting in the National League, and he was my favorite for this year. But he's built differently. They're 2 different guys. But I think that, again, just give some more time to what Jack Leiter has in front of him. He's still very young, still has lots of opportunity before him. Do you have any questions? You look like you have a question.
No, I just, I didn't know how much we could get into it here. There is a lot of information and feedback about the name Logan.
Okay.
We might have to, like, set this to the side and discuss it at another point, but a lot of people have information about all of this.
All right, then the next phase is looking forward real quick. We got the Braves tonight and the Braves this weekend, and the Braves are a team. If you heard Mr. Foss this morning on with Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton, he said they can outscore their problems at pitching, and that's what the Rangers still need to learn, like be able to outscore their problems at pitching. And that's where this series is going to be a tough one, because you're rolling pitching out there this weekend, your fingers crossed most of the time. And then you're like, can we score the runs that we need to?
I just want to say for the record, I think we as a station have dropped the ball when it comes to Alex Faust. We had this discussion because his PR person or the Apple PR person or whatever, they reached out to every single one of our shows.
Correct.
Even the Get Right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think, awesome. And we discussed this in our like station text, I still think it would have been an amazing bit to either A, book Alex on all of the shows and ask him all the same questions,
mm-hmm.
or have like an interview competition where we brought him on all four of the shows and see who could get the best interview out of it.
So here was my feeling. If he went on Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton this morning, all right, and then
that's a mouthful.
He got onto our show. Maybe it's, I mean, because he was on at like 8:10-ish, 8:05. And then he gets onto our show at, let's say it's 10:20, all right? And we ask him the exact same questions. Is he going to realize that he's already been on this station today? Or is he going to be like, doesn't matter, it's the Rangers area, I want to give the... Would he give the exact same answer, or would he change it up just a little bit? I wanted to do this. I really think we should have done this.
Do you think he was doing a whole car wash, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's...
You would have to have enough other stations in between for him to kind of be like, you know, just in a daze.
Well, I think the thing, though, is that is Apple TV's game tonight.
Yeah.
And so I'm betting he's only doing Atlanta and Texas media. And so he would... But again, that's where I'm at is... That would have been so much fun.
Question in Texas.
Yeah, this is, hey, oh, you guys really do want to know a lot about Wyatt Langford's doubles. I don't know exactly what, but I also think, Kevin, that we all should have asked one specific weird question that he would be like, that's the third time I've gotten this today. How do y'all, like, where did y'all get this information? We're like, we're the same station, bro.
We're the KNC Masterpiece. Missed opportunity.
Dang it.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. It's official prognostication time. What are your predictions for Stars, Golden Knights, and Mavs, Clippers? Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.